American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kemp.
And it is a good day! Sean Kemp reporting from the internet for Monday, November 11th, 2010. You're listening to Newsreel, the WAW Global Sit-Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. How's that sugar bath treating ya? Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too! You can follow up on all these news stories, you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes. Three times we're heard on iTunes. Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, Second Life, every Thursday night at Node Archers Grid 15574666. And if you happen to show up, you'll be in here with Anthony, Balls, Cars, and Kothak. Cirque. You know what? That's actually pronounced Ed. Dawn, Hero, Jonas, Lachlan, Lauren Law, Max the Token Cat, Mindy, Starx, she looks amazing, Mufasa, Rashnarak, Norseman, Sideslide, Spark Test Rage, Sporadic, E, Finkelstein, Swad Lemon, Tackcraft, who did some lovely modifications in here recently, Tanya Bracula, and Avagdu. And let's not forget my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian.
Greetings. Hello, Sean. How are you doing?
My God, you sound horrible, Sim. Your voice sounds like hell and shit. Like, I can't believe that. Are you okay?
It's a bit rough. I mean, you noticed it last week right away, within one word.
Wait.
And it has continued on to this week as well.
You've been sick for a week already?
Yeah. And usually when you're sick for a week, because it did start last Wednesday, the day before we recorded the show last week. So after a week, for any kind of sickness, if it doesn't go away, it's time to see the doctor, which I'm going to be doing tomorrow.
I think it's time for some pork, is what I think it is. I think it's time that we had...
That's it, yeah.
You need to feast on some carcass. That's what you need. A little bit of carcass, fix you right up. It's like that movie Ravenous. Have you seen that yet? Have you watched Ravenous?
Ravenous.
Yet? No.
Ravenous. No.
Oh,
what is that?
It's got the best.
Ravenous.
They have like the best soundtrack ever for the movie Ravenous. It's awesome. And the whole premise of the film makes you ask the question of, it's sort of like vampires. If you eat people and you get stronger, is it moral and
yes,
stuff
okay.
like that? It's a Wendigo and all this kind of jazz. Very Catholian, actually. It's a very Catholian kind of movie.
Got a good rating.
I'd never seen it on my list. I'd never seen it. I watched it on my birthday. Watched Ravenous on my birthday. First time. Never saw it. Yeah, it was great. It was really, really good. If you haven't seen Ravenous, go see it. It's a great film. I had surprisingly no problem with the film. I'm like...
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't want to give too much away.
Well, it's not really surprising.
Well, the whole film just kind of self-destructs. Like, these guys get out, and they have a fort, and now they can start building an army, and they just kind of fall apart. And I didn't really understand that. But, you know, it's a good movie. I don't think that my fan base... I think my fan base would like to watch that, and they'd laugh, and everybody would look at each other knowingly, knowing that they were just, you know, we just swing by the local prisons... You know, and it'd be like, what would you like on the menu tonight, sir? Well, let's see. We've got a couple of very nasty rapists we can serve up for you. We have a nice goulash there. And we've also got a whole plethora of wonderful sex offenders, which you can dine upon this fine evening. You know, and
that one looks tender. I'll take two of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and that one, has he been beaten? Oh, he's been beaten very well. We have a good man.
Very tender.
Nice, very nice. Yeah, totally. You know, that's how I'd be rolling. Seriously, vampires, we can coexist. Let's make vampires cops. There you go. Vampire cops. Crime rate through the floor. Mind you, it's kind of that could be sort of abused, but that's the kind of issues we talk about here on the show. So, sorry, it's been a week. You're still sick.
I think I have tonsillitis.
No,
possibly.
No, you've got to meet.
No, it's the lack of meat. That's
right. Lack of meat, man.
It's caught. Meat, it's caught up to me.
Well, your body's slowly eating itself. Because
after 12 years, it has caught up to me.
You're
and
a tough guy.
I now need to eat some meat.
That's right. Finally. Maybe, you know, you should just start.
The cat is looking tasty.
Well, there's a sign. You know, that's healthy. you're sounding better already. You know, just think about it. A little bit of blood.
Yeah.
You know, blood of the innocents. And...
Yep.
You know, seriously.
No, I think I'll be getting some antibiotics tomorrow, and it'll be all better.
That's what the government does. They got a problem, they just spill the blood of the innocent on it, and eventually it goes away. I
mean, come on, that's right. Couple sacrifices.
Blood of the innocent, man. That's what it is. All right, well, let's get into some feedback, Sammy. I'm sorry that you're still sick. I'm sorry that you're all... Oh.
Yeah.
Are you seriously that fucked up? Because if you're that fucked up, I'll just kick your ass off the show right now. Because if you shouldn't be talk, did you do your show?
I barely say anything on this show. The hard part's over. I did my show.
All right, well, shut the fuck up then. Let's talk about some challenge coins.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. I mean, you sit there and I'll talk about it. On challenge okay. coins. And regardless, there's some feedback we got here. In regards to the challenge coin, yes, I'm interested. And a quote from Wikipedia. Well, we're bringing in Wikipedia. This is some bull, some guy quoting Wikipedia to me about my challenge coins. But anyway, I'm giving Alex a hard time. I love him. One feature of challenge coins, as it takes a conscious effort to carry them at all times. Traditionally, rules of challenge coins include a prohibition against defacing the coin, especially if making it easier to carry it all at times. The challenge coin is attached to a belt buckle or a key ring, or has a hole drilled in it to attach to a lanyard. It no longer qualifies as a challenge coin. So I didn't know that. Alex told me that. So I guess...
You got to keep your challenge coins looking nice. You can't wreck them.
Well, that's the point of a challenge coin, is that, you know, if you present it with a challenge coin, it has to be a challenge.
It's a challenge keeping it clean and on your body. Yeah,
you got to keep it with you. You know, but I'm usually done for drinks, though. You see, like, it's usually done for beer, which I'm really not too sure what good could come of, like, a rant meet somewhere where we have kegs and stuff, you know. And
that's
we start,
right. Where's
you
your
know,
challenge coin?
Well,
you pay. Ha ha. You forgot it at home.
I'm just worried about getting all the wogs together and getting them drunk. That's what I'm worried about. You know, that's how that's how things like the Huns started. You know, that's how, you know, somebody got drunk.
Yeah.
They had an idea.
Bad ideas start floating around.
But thank you, Alex. You're beautiful for sending me the story. Yo, Sean and Sim. Last week, I was listening to Newsreel and heard, remember that drug you took 5 years ago and we have that lawsuit for you? I had an experience like this. I took the acne drug Accutane and it worked. I didn't die. I didn't get any adverse reactions, but apparently my colon should have turned green and fallen out my ass. And my point, just like Sim said, drugs and lawyer on TV. I'm not taking part in the lawsuit, but it's just more evidence that you guys are right. Keep screaming. I got a lot of, like, keep screaming, you rule kind of emails this week, which is good. I think it might have been the birthday.
That's good.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. It's very nice, actually. And I got a couple of people saying that, I got another message here. It just says, message.
But,
you know, message. You asked us to leave a comment if we actually go to your live journal, and I must enjoy the artwork. I also want to let you know that,
you
religious views aside, biblical timelines indicate Jesus died at 33, not 37. Laser Phalanx, right. I love you. I think I named this guy, too. No, this is super good. It's great. First of all, I was wrong, and I was corrected on that before. Yes, apparently, our sovereign Savior, Jesus Christ, did, in fact, die and get nailed to a stick at 33, not 37.
That's right.
It's true. Yeah, so we're doing good.
Right.
I wonder what the name... This is a character point. Apparently, the story goes, the two guys on the sticks either side of them got nailed to the head, right, and stuff. So one of them's dying.
Yep.
One guy says, believe in me and you're good. The other guy doesn't believe in him and he dies. I think that's how the story goes. Anyway, I wanted to know the name of the guy who died. Like, the guy who didn't believe in him.
I haven't heard that story.
Yeah, so. I'd heard that. I don't know if that was just like some weird interpretation.
This is when he was up on the cross?
Yeah, he's up on the cross because you always see like on the Mount Goa, right? There's a pitcher and there's like the big sticks and
a whole bunch
dudes.
Of people up on sticks.
Yeah, well, no, there's three. Yeah. There's always three dudes
on
the sticks, right?
Ah.
Ah. And then it's like, yeah. So I'm trying to think, what the fuck? Like, what was the name of the two dudes? But that's like one of those, like, you want to go up to a nun and be like, hey. And they love that. You can actually walk up to nuns and they will lay that shit on you, like, right there. That's amazing.
That's their job. That's their whole life. They should know that. If they don't know that, they failed.
And you could walk up to be like, pardon me. You know, I can't help but notice you're a nun. And I have this question, and it's like a trivia thing. And if you don't know, please don't. I'm not trying to make fun of you or whatever. I just want to know. You know, in the story where there's the guy, like Jesus, and he dies. So be respectful, you know, and he dies, and there's the two other guys who got crucified with him. They had names. Do you know what their names were? And one of them like accepted him, I think, and the other one didn't. And do you remember their names? Because I'd really like, that's an internet question. You know, I shouldn't be asking this in Israel.
Yeah.
I should be not lazy and go look it up myself. But I suspect, I happen to know there's a lot of Christians who listen to the show because I get feedback from time to time.
There's a lot of Christians that listen to the show as well. But, yeah.
Well, I don't like the way you said statistically there's a lot of Christians. Like, they're not subhumans. You know, we're not going for the final.
You are a statistic.
No, come on now. You know, they're good people. Just like, you know, they're all right. I believe in most stuff. You're the hardliner. You're the extremist, Mr. Adbusters.
Oh, yeah.
You're the one whose tonsils are all rotting out because you're not eating any pork. That's what's going on.
It's because I don't believe in God. It's God's punishment.
You are godless, meatless...
That's right.
Fuck, I would not want to live in your world. I really would not. I don't think I could do it. Mind you, you've done really well, which is kind of this weird oxymoron. Like, you seem happy. Pretty happy guy.
Yes.
Bizarre.
Yeah?
Really bizarre. You know, that whole thing, different strokes, different folks. Truer words were never spoken, I swear to God.
It's all about being happy no matter what you do.
That's true. That's true. You know,
that's right.
What can you do? So let's talk about being happy. Let's talk about nuclear fallout, which is awesome in the land of happiness.
Happy times.
The U.S. had lost communications with nearly 50 intercontinental ballistic nuclear missiles, 1/9 of its arsenal for 45 minutes over the weekend. Hey, Murray, where'd the missiles go? What missiles? You know, the missiles we're all here for. Oh, even as defense officials said there was no chance of an accidental launch or foul play, the media report said today. A defense official said the power failure led to a loss of communication between the control center and the missiles at F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Wyoming, according to the Wall Street Journal, which reported that President Barack Obama had been briefed on the issue. There was no threat to the public, the defense official said. The missiles were protected by multiple redundant safety, security, and control features. Another military official, Admiral Michael Mullen, told the chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, and notified Defense Secretary Robert Gates of the incident. The cause of power failure has been investigated, but does not appear to be malicious, according to officials. It was a terrorist mouse who chewed through a line and caused a blackout. Uh-huh. But I mean, that's a little bit freaky. Like, we lost power and we don't know what happened with the nukes for 45 minutes.
I'm surprised this kind of information gets out. Like, why would they tell people this? They keep other things so quiet and so locked down, but they'll tell the public that they lost communications with things that could blow up the country if aimed incorrectly.
Yeah, so that's a very good point, Sim. So the answer to that question is it's a lie. They do this when something has gone wrong and they are doing damage control. If later it's discovered that there's something that was lost time, they already have a reason and an excuse for it. So there's something going on there, which I thought was a little bit, crazy. And like they say in the movies, you know, I'm not worried about the guy who wants 10 nuclear missiles. I'm worried about the guy who wants one. You know, that's...
That's right.
That's the guy
that's all it takes.
I'm worried about, you know, so...
I mean, do we really need these nuclear missiles, too? Like, oh my goodness. Even if, like, 9/10 of them went offline, is that still really a problem? Other than the fact that they're offline, but... Not being able to use them is not really an issue.
Well, not only that, but I'd like to know where they are. You know, I'd like
that's
to,
true.
You know,
yeah.
When you have like a big monster creature, like a nuclear bomb, which turns everything off, it makes everything do the funky teleport. You know, you definitely want to keep track of that shit. Like that's an outside toy. Another outside toy, going with the cheerfulness of today's show. We got the nuclear fallout, but what's next? Plague. Fuck yeah, plague. Ooh. Who doesn't love plague? There's a man going around taking names. A never-before-detected strain of virus that killed more than one-third of a monkey colony at a U.S. lab appears to have jumped from animals to sicken a human scientist, researchers report. Split screen to the beginning of 28 days later, where the monkey bites the dude. Yeah, that's back to the story. Although, it's an unusual move. An unusual move. That borderlines on impossible. Okay, but it's because it's no longer impossible, I guess it's an unusual move for that type of virus, and does warrant further monitoring. Remember the AIDS virus, when they said that the AIDS virus was caused by a monkey that bit a guy? Do you remember that?
Back in the day,
that was one of the theories. Where did AIDS come from? This is before, the actual pandemic outbreak looks like, you know, if you look at the immunization charts of where the World Health Organization was doing immunizations prior to the AIDS outbreak, it actually looks like a roadmap. But anyway, so they're saying here that this monkey, you know, is now jumped species, this plague. It's an unusual move for this type of virus, and it does warrant further monitoring. Well, that's putting it mildly. The researchers stress here there's no cause for alarm at this time. There is no evidence the virus has spread beyond a single scientist who's recovering from her illness. nor is there even proof that the virus would be transmissible between humans. Still, there's very strong evidence to suggest a cross-species transmission even happened. The lead investigator, Dr. Charles Chui, the assistant professor of laboratory medicine and medicine infectious diseases at the University of California in San Francisco. That's right. That didn't happen in Borneo. That's at the Cali, baby. That's awesome. Could you imagine, you know, if something like that was to get out of the university and just start spreading? Geez. Like, holy shit. And like, I try to touch on that in After Now with the talking about the plagues. You know, and the plague fear. Yeah. I mean, you've never seen fear until you see plague fear, man. Like, plague fear is unreal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just unbelievable, right? So, it's pretty interesting here. The study was presented Friday at the Infectious Diseases Society of America annual meeting in Vancouver, Canada. I was there at the Friday's Infectious, and I was like, hey, what's up? And they were all talking to me, and we were cool. we were doing terrace fist bumps and everything. It was pretty rad. Yeah, I was there. That's local Vancouver. That's got to be a strange event, eh? Like, I wonder what the hookers deal with, you know, dealing with these infectious diseases guys. I mean, do they even get hookers at these conventions? You know, if you went to an infectious disease convention, would you get a hooker? You know, I don't think that...
Probably one of the safest places to be. I don't know.
Yeah, seriously, like, the hookers must be, like, bummed out, because, you know, they'd be like, oh, man, phone's not ringing. I hate it when these guys come to town. In Scop News, Sim, it's all bad. We got nuclear fallout. We got the plague spreading, man. And what's coming up next? Scop, man. That's right. The mad soy disease. I'm not making this shit up. They call it mad soy disease in Brazil, which has been spreading from north, causing yield losses of up to 40% of soy, most notably in the states of Mato Grosso, Tocantins, and Goiás, whose names I'm totally butchering, I'm sure. Like its main namesake, the mad cow disease, it is incurable. This is the latest GMO fiasco to surface as a report in the meltdown in the USA. Mad soy disease has afflicted soybeans sporadically in the hot northern regions of Brazil in the past years, but now spreading to more temperate regions in the south, with increased prevalence overall, according to U.S. Department of Agricultural Scientists. The disease delays the maturation of infected plants indefinitely. The plants remain green until they eventually rot in the field. The top leaves thin out, the stems thicken and become deformed, the leaves also darken compared to that of healthy plants. The pods, when formed, are abnormal with fewer beans. Researchers have yet to find out the cure for the disease, and they're not sure what causes it. The prime suspect for spreading the disease is the black mite found in the stubble when the soybean is grown to a no-till production system. According to the USDA Global Agricultural Information Network, Brazil has 24 million HA planted to soybean. Hectares planted to soybeans. 78% are GM modified soybeans. Apart from the mad soy disease, Brazil's soybean is simultaneously affected by soybean Asian rust, which first appeared in 2001-2002. Producer groups are requesting the Brazilian government agency to speed up approval of more effective fungicide to combat the disease, which have significant cost implications, but for mad soy disease, there is no cure forthcoming. No cure! Mato Grosso, which alone produces nearly 30% of Brazil's soybean crop, is among the states that have brought the issues of mad soy disease to the forefront. So, this is interesting. This is interesting. Yep. You know, with the Matt. So, like, you better buy your tofu now, man. You know.
Well, luckily, I don't buy any genetically modified soybeans, but this will probably raise the price of all soy products, unfortunately.
Yes, well,
which I partake in a lot of.
Yes, so you know, looks like you're a little and you know, it's a sign from God, Sim, is what it is, that you need to eat some pork. That's what's going on here. You need
have to eat more vegetables and less soy.
You need to find Jesus, Sim, and he's at a barbecue. That's what it is.
That's right.
That's what
roasting
it is.
The animals that were given to us.
Have
by the
some
Lord.
Carcass. Taste of my flesh. Do it. Dun, dun,
dun. Yeah, the Christian cannibals.
It's like, yes, Catholics and ravenous. Now, speaking of which, this is one of the best stories. Okay, now it's getting good. All right, yes, we got nuclear fallout, we got disease, and yeah, all the soybeans are falling, but check it out! This is awesome. In Divine Corsair News. Oh, Null Moniker sent me this story. This is money! On September 21st, the Vatican observer at the United Nations, Mons Silvo Maria Tomasi, that's his name, the 48th, he addressed the 48th General Assembly.
They will bring forth the demons.
Yeah, well, he's the guy. He addressed the 48th General Assembly of the World Intellectual Property Organization, the WIPO, in Geneva. He let the group know that the Vatican supports intellectual property rights because such protection recognizes the dignity of man and his work, and because it contributes the growth of the individual personality and of the common good. So, yes, we, the people of God, acknowledge intellectual property. But Tomasi went on to make a point, but we've harped on repeatedly at here on Ars Technica, which the story is, supporting IP rights in general does not always mean supporting tougher patent and copyright rules. Better does not always mean stronger. A stronger system of protection could either enhance or limit economic growth. He said, while strengthening IPRs has potential for enhancing growth and development in the proper circumstances, it might also raise difficult and economic social costs. Indeed, developing economies could experience net welfare losses in the short run because many of the costs of protection could emerge earlier than dynamic benefits. So it's like, if you deny the people access to their to information, you know, you're going to stop their development. So as for the argument that that companies will invest more development money in poor countries to boost their IP protections, Tomasi noticed that improved IPRs by itself is highly unlikely to produce such benefits. What is needed is education, financial markets, and better technical training, human capital, and social infrastructure. Holy shit, they can read over there at the Vatican. Simply demanding that all the countries adopt a tougher IP standards is of wealthy nations won't help anyone. Tomasi's goal of a fair regime of intellectual property rights should aim towards the good of all in pursuit of more equitable international relations, especially in regard to poorer and more vulnerable people. This is from the Catholic Church. This is unbelievable. Yeah. These guys were trying to slaughter Galileo. Well, looks like somebody's learned their lesson. In a recent encyclical by Pope Benedict, one that speaks at length about the Catholic approach to development, is deeply concerned with the economic inequitability. The Benedict's view, strong IP rights can't be part of such inequity. I'm sure that that's what the Pope thinks. Anyway, the Eutheros, this is... Now, you're going to have to help me with this pronunciation of this word, Sim. Eleutheros, because it's the coolest word ever. Eleutheros.
Eleutheros?
Eleutheros. I'm going to say Eleutheros.
Something like
Eleutheros?
Probably. That sounds better.
Eleutheros. Eleutheros agrees. Now, Eleutheros, I'm like, who are these guys? Nothing better for Catholics for secret sex. I'm like, wait a second. The Catholics have got, like, a group together for IP protection? That's awesome! That's rad. The Eleutheros agrees. It's a Catholic group whose name means free, which exists for the promotion inside the Catholic Church of the software, computer protocols, and the file formats more compatible with her own doctrine. Those free, as in freedom. So, if, for the free. It's like this total, like, Opus Dei kind of, you know, thing going on there with the IP rights. I'm like, I'm loving it because nobody does ritual like the Catholics, right? You can just see them now all praying over their computers. It's very server muck. It's awesome. So they got a manifesto here from the link. So I get into the manifesto, right? and I'm going through the Eleutheros Manifesto, which I'm like, fuck yeah, the Catholic Church is all like, now, so I go through their manifesto, and here are their objectives, okay, skip all the shit, okay, here's the objectives. For reasons mentioned above, the Eleutheros intends to engage in the study of the scriptures and elasticological teaching of the classical texts in general and Catholic blah, 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 which is like, we will study the word of God. Okay, great. Increase among Catholics the awareness and importance of free software, open formats, and protocols, as well as their ethical values. Be free, but just. Okay, that's pretty good. Regardless of which software is adopted, propose only that open formats and protocols are used by all Catholic organizations. Only the open source. Propose
no
that.
No Microsoft for you.
Propose that whenever it is possible, free software is used instead of proprietary software in all Catholic organizations. Bring forth the penguins of the Inquisition. Chosen by God. I could just see the righteousness.
Penguins in Pope hats.
Penguins in Pope... righteous crusading penguins of justice will now be... Linux has been chosen by God. That's pretty, you know... holy crap.
Well, they've got good ideas here. It doesn't excuse them for the rest of it, of the stuff they're all about, but this... I can go along.
Who are you to judge things? I need a fabricated images of a Eleutheros Inquisitor, Warhammer 40K style. I want to know what one of those would look like. We need like a banner. That's awesome. Like Catholic IP pirates. That's the best. Ah, it's just, it's got a good vibe to it. Come on. It's great. You could get some chanting on the go. Gregorian stuff. It's all be like, you know, Brotherhood of the Wolf. It's fantastic. Really good stuff. We'll get Monica in there. It's a great story. You know, you gotta love it. You got the Catholics chiming in about intellectual property, which I understand. You know, they kind of were killing people because they said stuff like, you know, the world was round and shit like that. So, you know.
Well, yeah, and their ranks are dropping. They're having less people go to church, so they got to save a bit of money here and there. So going to, you know, free and open formats will save them the money rather than dishing out the licensing price for the Microsoft software and the Mac software and stuff like that. So it's understandable.
I think they should go further. I think they should start excommunicating people. You know, they should totally be
What, like, do you run at home?
Microsoft.
Please present. They're handing out Ubuntu at they give you the cracker, they give you the thing of wine, and they give you an Ubuntu CD at church, right?
That's right. And, you know, and the funny thing is I told them to be like, hey, I can't believe you're still running Microsoft. The Ubuntu guys think they're all so fucking badass. It makes me sick. Anyway, in Black Ops news, oh, talk about the shit you never hear about. Did you know about this? Because I didn't know about this. Did you know about an internet voting system designed to allow District of Columbia residents to cast absentee ballots has been put on hold after computer scientists exploited vulnerabilities that would have allowed them to rig elections and view secret data. The system, which was paid for as part of a $300,000 federal grant, was hijacked just 36 hours after Washington, D.C. elections officials began testing it ahead of live elections scheduled for next month. Scientists from the University of Michigan pulled off the hack to demonstrate the inherent insecurity of net-based voting. None of this will come as a surprise to internet security experts who are familiar with many kinds of attacks that major websites will suffer from on a daily basis. One of the scientists, J. Alex Hederman, wrote on Tuesday, Freedom to Tinker blog, it may someday be possible to build a secure method of submitting ballots over an internet, but in the meantime, such systems should be presumed to be vulnerable based upon the limitations of today's security technology. Did you know about this? Did you know that they were even
fielding this? I've heard lots of stories about this and voting, electronic voting and stuff.
Those are diebold.
This is one of the platforms of the Pirate Party. This is one of the platforms of the Pirate Party of open government and using open software that could be analyzed. So these kind of vulnerabilities don't exist. So if you get a thousand eyeballs looking at this software, it'll get out all these bugs, and you won't have these rigged elections, and you'll be able to proceed with using electronic software.
I don't know, man. The last time that Bush got elected, I'm pretty sure that election was rigged. You know?
At least you'll take this part of the rigging out of it.
Well, yeah.
You can't get rid of all of it, right?
They can't always make the same mistakes over and over and over again. But, yeah, you know, I guess you're right. I guess you're right, but it's an interesting.
It's better to be able to analyze the software and take a look at it rather than some company saying, "Yes, it's secure, trust us."
And you know what? I'd be scared shitless to be one of the guys at the university involved with this. You know, like, hey, we're just going to
pointing out the flaws. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but I mean, there's a lot of different powers in play here. There's a lot of money on the line. And, you know, you're just a university prof trying to do your thing over here. And now suddenly you're influencing the elections. And maybe the vulnerabilities you are finding aren't really vulnerabilities. Maybe they're a feature. Maybe they're not there by accident. Maybe they're there because, you know, like, and suddenly, you're playing in big boys rules now. So I don't know. Maybe these guys thought it was pretty cool to act like they're all on sneakers and stuff, but I don't know. I always get nervous when dudes with badges who can totally fucking destroy your life start poking around. That always makes me.
I'm surprised they let somebody take a look at it.
I guess they must maintain the ruse rather than in-house. Well, it's either going
to
be if the election goes the wrong way, everyone's going to verify it. So at least the hack's got to be good enough that they can't find it on the first pass. I mean, that just makes sense to me. Now, how about this one? Second Life, we have a huge amount of fans inside of Second Life who, dig the show. So this is an interesting news story pertaining to the Cyberscape. The thing is that a guy broke into a person's house, and at least he left the cat. It's not a real cat, but based on how it was living, its owner was pretty fond of it. An unidentified thief is facing very real criminal charges after stripping bare 44-year-old Paolo Latsiki's virtual home inside the Facebook game Pet Society. Okay, so he hacked her account in Pet Society. Okay, the hacker cracked Litsa's email password and gained entry to her luxury Pet Society home, all built for her fake feline, Blue Cat. Based on the list of stolen items, Blue Cat was living large. The thief took a jacuzzi, an aquarium, mirrors, pool table, all the furniture, including carpet, drapes, and seven-room imaginary domicile. The Blue Cat was left unmolested, but only imagines he was virtually seething with anger. Since players can pay cash for game items, which to furnish their pet homes, Lita is out the equivalent of $140. $140 in accoutrements she bought for an imaginary cat to live in a house that doesn't exist on Facebook.
Yep. That's right.
$140 worth of stuff. Italian prosecutors.
To some people, that's a lot of money, right?
Dude. Like, I'm not spending $140 on an imaginary fucking cat. Like, I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. You want me to what? Like, seriously, you will, check yourself before that happens. Holy cow. Italian prosecutors have transferred the case to postal authorities who plan to press charges for illegal and aggravated entry into an email account, according to the AFP. If conviction could result from 1 to 5 years in prison. If he's convicted of this.
Well, the punishment is a bit outweighing the crime there, 1 to 5 years in prison. But virtual things are just as real as real things. Like, if there's money associated with it or time or effort you put into it, it's just as real to you as it is to somebody else. Like, you put money in the bank and it accumulates interest. Is that real money in the bank? Did it actually make real money? Is it just virtual money? Like, what is real? What's virtual? If it has a real world cost or something that is associated to it that has value to you, then it has value. So this is understandable. It seems silly. It's wrapped in silliness of a blue cat. It's like, it's ridiculous.
But I don't know, man. If I pull the plug and it stops existing, I don't think it's real. You know, I don't know. You know, it's an interesting concept. It's an interesting idea, but it's like, wow. I suppose if this thing was somehow listed as some type of theft, I could appreciate that. But that's just...
Go ahead. Think of Second Life at this area where somebody has bought, like paid real cash money for a spot in Second Life and purchased, you know, tiles or items and hacks into the server and takes it over.
Right.
And it's like,
Totally. Totally. They've stolen software. It's just interesting how this is going to develop. Is there going to be value placed on individual items? Are certain items going to be worth more than other items?
Sure.
It sort of gives a lot of legitimacy to the 3D realm, to be certain. So it's a very...
That's, yeah, very true, yeah.
You know, so it definitely does give a lot of legitimacy to the 3D realm. Neat story, neat story. Anyway, now, you're going to hate this story, Sim, but I'm going to do it. Fascist America!
Okay.
Data maggot. Okay. The Obama run, Washington bureaucracy, just in case you're running, you know, who's writing the story. They're are opening with... This is Obama's fault. Washington bureaucracy has classified a common and reliable rifle, the M1 Garand, as a threat to public safety in the United States. Now, for those of you who don't know, there's that rifle that the guy shot himself with in Full Metal Jacket. You remember that rifle? That's an M14.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, before that rifle existed, that rifle in that movie was built on an older rifle from World War II, which you've probably seen in the World War II pictures that looked a little bit like that rifle, but it's older. And that rifle's called an M1 Garand. It is a very old rifle. It's been around for, like, a long time. Almost 100 years. Okay, so it's it's actually an antique by anyone's standards, all right? So this is an old... Not a high-speed rifle. This is just a rifle, a very basic rifle. It's a good rifle, probably one of the best rifles ever made, but it is still just an old rifle. It's an old, reliable rifle. If I were and because of this ban, the stunning classification of an ordinary gun that was used in the U.S. military for two decades and issued to thousands of soldiers and Marines during World War II and Korea as a threat came as a documented by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. The Examiner gun rights writer David Kajura said about it, if I read this right, they're saying that every gun poses a threat to public safety in the United States. This is the same rationale used in model-specific assault weapons bans. The type of gun is somehow deemed relevant, even though untold numbers of such firearms are already peaceably owned in this country, even though no supporting evidence for this conclusion exists beyond agenda-promoting speculation. Which is true! I'm totally opposed to gun control. I think you should be able to buy silencers everywhere. I shit you not. I think it's a fantastic idea. Okay, going on here. The UN resolution adopted in October calls upon member nations to negotiate the matter of, in finished writing, gun control treaty by 2012. So everyone who's a member of the United Nations is supposed to be part of this. They're supposed to be UN. Of course, the UN can't bind anything, but they're supposed to have gun control in place by 2012. The United States voted for the resolution, which was adopted almost unanimously. And said in his commentary, President Bush, for all his mistakes and miscalculations, never allowed his UN representatives to participate in such negotiations. But Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton reversed the course and agreed to join the negotiations. He said that under such treaties, that offers serious threat to the United States. So this is what they're talking about here, is taking away people's guns. And they get a little worried about this. Whenever you start talking about taking away people's guns... They start, you know, being freaky. But the thing is, if you listen to what they're saying, also, there was the report on the Department of Homeland Security, which I talked about, which warned against the possibility of violence by unnamed right-wing extremists. Now, this is interesting. Unnamed right-wing extremists who are concerned about illegal immigration. What would be concerning about that? Increased federal power. So the fact that the government's picking on you, restrictions on firearms, if you object to that, if you're upset about abortion and the loss of U.S. sovereignty, which I thought was really funny. It's like, if you don't accept your alien masters, you're a radical right-wing extremist. What do you mean the loss of U.S. sovereignty? Of course they're going to be pissed about the loss of U.S. sovereignty. They're Americans. They're a fucking sovereign nation. And singled out... And this is interesting.
Any
they singled out returning war vets as a particular threat. The report, right-wing extremism, current economical, political, climate-fueling resurgence, and radicalization and recruitment, dated April 7th, states that threats from white supremacist and violent anti-government groups during 2009 have been largely rhetorical and have not indicated plans to carry out violent acts. However, the document, first reported by talk radio host and WMD columnist Roger Hedgecock, went on to suggest worsening economic woes, politically new legislative restrictions on firearms, and the return of military veterans face significant challenges reintegrating into their communities could lead to a potential emergence of terrorist groups or lone wolf extremists capable of carrying out violence attacks. So it's interesting that they're turning on the soldiers now, that now suddenly they're afraid that these guys, these kids that they took and they dropped in the desert, may raid people's homes and kick in their doors and shoot people in the face. And now, suddenly, oh shit, we've got Johnny's come home, and he's all fucked up, and he's angry now. And, of course, never mind the suicide epidemic, which I called this Oh my God, did I ever call this? For those of you that have been listening long enough, they'll be like, fuck yeah, Sean called that. And now, oh shit, it is on. And it's really come home to roost now with this. And now they're watching the war vets because they're afraid the war vets are going to be like, you know, the America that the Marine Corps believes in is a little bit different than the America that's going on right now. Maybe one America is better than the other one. I don't really know. But I definitely think some of the traditional values in America have kind of lost their way to be. And I don't mean traditional values in, like, you know, the Christian sort of sense. I just mean in, like, you know, the free thinking. It, you know, anytime they start taking away Americans' guns, I get a little bit. I kind of like having a bunch of gun-toting psychotic neighbors. I think it's great. You know, they know how to have a good barbecue. I think it's wonderful. We don't necessarily have to have all those. I would like to have those kind of gun laws, but you know, if I can't get them, I'm not going to freak out. But I think there should be a place that there is that kind of weapon freedom. I think that should exist somewhere in the world. Maybe it's only Arizona, but you know, it should exist somewhere. So I get a little bit freaked out when they start doing this kind of stuff, Simi. I got to tell you, bugs me. You never know where this is going to wind up.
It's kind of funny that they go after the people that are afraid of their guns being taken away. So what do? They take their guns away.
Yeah, you know, so it's like
that's not going to make them even madder.
This, you know, it's kind of a brutal story, but that's okay. We just need to move forwards. That brings us into our cyberpunk kit section, where we can talk about the gizmos that really rule. Like tractor beams. Gotta love it, Raggedy Man. It's the future! Loving the future. Tractor beams, energy rays that can move objects, are a science fiction mainstay. But now they're becoming a reality, at least for moving very, very tiny objects. Researchers from the Australian National University have announced they've built a device that can move small particles a meter and a half using only the power of light. All right. We got a meter and a half using only light. Hey, that's pretty good. You know? Why not? Hey,
scale that up. Yep.
Sure. Shit. It's step. That is a rung in the ladder. Oof. Got a rung. Right.
Gen zero.
What's the next rung? Right. You got to make that better. So it's a step. Right. Physicists have been able to manipulate tiny particles over minuscule distances by using lasers for years. Optical tweezers can move particles a few millimeters are common. Andre Rode, a researcher involved with the project, said that existing optical tweezers are able to move particles the size of a bacterium a few millimeters in a liquid. Their new technique can move objects 100 times that size over a distance of a meter or more. That's wow. That's quite a significant movement. Like think about what that would mean.
Especially if it's
doing
precision. Like they could use that in
chemical
operations.
Construction. You take a bunch of test tubes and you need to modify and build custom chemicals. That would be one thing I'm thinking of, like molecular production, biosynthesis. I mean, it's pretty fucking neat, man. You're building stuff with lasers. Hey, that's cool. You know, who doesn't like that? But what's cooler than that? Oh yeah, power armor is cooler than that. Rocket balls! I'm so happy about this. It's making me sick. Bring on the mech wars! We have two weapons manufacturers now making power armor. I love it. There's open market competition. This is going to be fucking great.
Wow.
We're going to have head-to-head power armor competitions. There's nothing better than this. Nothing's going to stop me now. For those of you yearning for some good old-fashioned mech wars, your hopes may be realized on a battlefront in the near future. To complement the combat airships, lasers, drones, and a variety of exotic future weapons, Lockheed Martin is looking to outfit soldiers with powerful exoskeletons that would greatly amplify their physical movements and turn them into resilient angels of death. That's what it actually says. Turn them into resilient angels of death. Dubbed the Human Versal Universal Load Carrier, the Hulk, the Lockheed Martin has sponsored $1.1 million contract using private investment to try to sell the military on the idea of combat exoskeletons. So this is the Hulk. We've talked about this unit before.
Yep.
Lockheed Martin recently
shared
details.
They look small.
Yeah, they're very small. They shared details of the suit Wired. So it turns out the Agile outfit is fully ruggedized, waterproof, withstand billowing dust, common precious Middle East. Lithium-ion battery can pack power 20 for a 12.5-mile march on a single charge. Suit can travel at 7 miles per hour, faster than a brisk walk, and fast enough to keep up a slow-moving tank. Wow. The suit allows a soldier to effortlessly lift 200 pounds, far more than the average private sense suit could even dream of. And the battery pack weighs only 18 pounds, is rechargeable via Humvee electrical cables, and holds charge to 3 to 4 days. I mean, it's fantastic. Now, the Lockheed's longtime rival, Raytheon, is making a competitive model dubbed the XOS-2. And let's not forget Sarkos, right? Sarkos is in there, too. Sarkos has got their power armor. So we got a whole hockey sock of power armor coming up. Yeah. This is great.
Awesome.
Are you kidding me? This is what it's about, man. We're going to be able to get... Yep. Dudes in power armor. I don't care what I got to do. If I've got to go, like, stand at the base like a big nerd and be like, hey, can I, like, see the power armor? And be like, some guy's out here who wants to look at the power armor. And they think the power armor is cool, too. And eventually somebody's going to be like, hey, all right, you shut up, dude. We didn't do this. Come on. We're going to go look at some power armor. We'll be like, oh, boy. And, you know, they'll let me dance around and stuff. It'll be great. But, like, seriously, I mean, what would you do for some power armor? Really? I mean,
God. So awesome.
Ah,
it's so cool.
I swear to God, all my way, all the way across. What does it mean, so intense?
I'd run around the park and, like, jump into trees and jump from tree to tree and stuff.
Yeah, you'd break
so awesome.
Shit. You'd be like a wandering nightmare of collateral damage. So, but, you know, that's one of the things that you've got to deal with when you are putting out power. I never thought I'd really see it, you know.
I would do some power armor parkour.
There power armor parkour. Yes. Yes. Cybernetically enhanced alliteration. I love it. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. That is a very, very good idea. Did you hear about this?
Jump higher than you ever needed to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you hear about this this thing here today, Sim? The today's
I
daily hack.
I did, in fact.
The fire sheet.
Did, in fact.
This is quite a thing. And, of course... Everybody knew it was going to be on today's show. There was actually, I thought I had another story in here about a spaceport that went up. That must be on next week's show, but we could talk about it. Huh. And they're building a spaceport in New Mexico. It's the Virgin Galactic one.
Ooh.
That they're putting in down there. Oh. Yeah, it's open. It opened
on
my birthday.
I've heard that before. It's open now.
Yeah,
I remember they were talking about making it.
Yeah, they did their opening on my birthday. Yeah,
I was nice. Pretty... blast into space.
Yeah, so it's a private spaceport, which you can go to down there. So we got power
future
armor.
Future is now.
Tractor beams. Yep. And a private spaceport, baby. Like, you can't even mess with that. Are you kidding? That's, like, the most cyberpunk thing ever.
We are in
ever.
The future.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You're there. I mean, this is it.
Yep.
We're 37. You know, we're 37.
Yep.
Here we are. Space
we made it.
Power
you
armor. Yeah.
Did you ever think it would come this quick? I didn't think it would come this quick.
Well,
I thought maybe around 50, when we're 50. But this is pretty quick.
Well, it's pretty fast, you know.
Pretty good.
What do you think of the future, man? What do you? Yeah, we're here. We're kind of come through that whole cyberpunk age. What are you going to do there? Because one of the things is, like, what does the guy do who says, you know, the end is coming, right? Oh, this fuck. So okay, the end happens, right? The wave hits, everything goes to apocalyptic shit. Does he put down on the side? Well, the end was here. Now what? You know, or does he keep just wandering around? So the end, the end happened 4 days ago. Like, no shit, Sherlock. Really? Yeah, we noticed. Okay. So, you know, like, what do you do then? Like, so when you wind up and you're in the future, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
have
you're making movies. You're gonna be a big time movie producer guy. That's gonna be your thing.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well,
that's
for sure, for sure. Are you kidding? You're brilliant. Yeah. You're gonna totally take over the planet. So it's a matter of, like, you know, and what do I want to do? You know, like how to spend time in the future.
I
want to go on adventures.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. You know, I mean...
With power armor in space.
Well, yeah, but how are we going to get the power armor, right? Which leads to money, right? And that's why... And
that's
the problem
right.
is the acquisition of money. And that's what pretty much holds all of us back. You know, so it's...
It does,
it's gotta
yes.
Be some,
that's right.
Well, you know, and you wind up kind of asking yourself, like, critical questions about, you know, what... Why do you want money? Well, you want money so you can be happy. So you get into the circular logic of, well, what do you need to be happy? Well, what makes you happy? What do you think makes you happy? And blah, blah, blah. It's always such a pain in the ass because nothing's like ever what you imagine it is. You're supposed to try to decide what you want to be. And nothing is ever like what you think it's going to be like. So it's a bit of a ripoff. So if you're in your mid-30s and you feel ripped off, don't worry. You're not alone. There's a lot of people just like you who are feeling like, what the fuck, man? What happened here? This was not the shit I signed up for. You know, this is not my beautiful life. This is not my beautiful house. But anyway, one thing that... no, it's true. It's true. There's a lot of things you got to look for. So now that we're here in the future, what are we going to do? You know, it's a
good fun.
Have fun.
Have some fun with the tech that we have.
Ah,
I mean,
yes.
30 years ago, none of this tech was around.
It's true.
People would dream of just having the cell phone you have in your pocket. people would go nuts for. They'd be like, oh god. My god, so much computing power.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amazing amounts of power. That's another thing I noticed about the film Ravenous is I was like, wow, the past sucked. You know, really? Like, living with wood.
It was a hard go.
It's a rough go, man. Like, fuck that. Not a lot of runway models running around back in the day.
We have it so easy. We got electricity. We got running water.
Running
we got
water
sewage.
For the wind.
Oh, my God.
Like, running... Yeah. Hot running water for the wind. Holy
hot.
Shit.
There you go.
You would be able to seduce any woman in the kingdom in medieval times if you had hot... If you had a shower. Like, you would be big pimp and fun. You know, oh, absolutely.
I have hot water out of a tap.
Hot water, baby.
Woohoo.
Can't go wrong. So if you've
line
got
up
hot water
here.
And, you know, a pretty decent piece of tech, then, you're pretty much doing good in the man cave of the world. Now, fire sheep. That's what I want to talk about. Talking about man caves, the fire sheep. Sounds like a Scottish curse. At TorCon 12, Hacker Conference in San Diego on Sunday, Seattle programmer Eric Butler introduced his Fire Sheep add-on for the Firefox web browser in an effort to bring attention to the weakness in open Wi-Fi networks. They always say that, but that's never what they do. A practice known as HTTP session hijacking or sidejacking, an attempt to intercept browser cookies used by many sites, including Facebook and Twitter, to identify users to allow anyone running the program to log on as a legitimate user and do anything that user can do on a particular website. The post on his site, Butler describes how FireSheep works. Once installed, FireSheep displays a sidebar with Start Capturing button. All the user needs to do is connect to the open Wi-Fi network, click the button, and soon anyone on the network visiting an insecure site known to FireSheep, the program captures the cookie, contains all of their login details, and name and photo will be displayed in the sidebar. Double-click on the displayed user to be logged in as them, and it will wreak havoc and all kinds of damage on their accounts. Butler highlights Facebook, Twitter as two of the more popular sites vulnerable to hijacking use, but FireSheep also uses programs that can capture cookies from Foursquare, Gwaza, Amazon.com, Basecamp, Bitly, Cisco, CNAP, Dropbox, Enom, Evernote, Flickr, GitHub, Google, Hacker News, Harvest, Windows Live, New York Times, Pivotal Tracker, Slicecast, Tumblr, WordPress, Yahoo, and Yelp. Additionally, users can write their own plugins and access onto other unsecured HTTP sites. This is like, holy shit. Like, is that ever intense?
That's right.
Yeah.
People have to know how to protect themselves. If you're at a open Wi-Fi at the coffee shop, you don't go on your email, you don't go on Facebook, but everybody does. Because a lot of these people log in without being going through the secure method of doing it. Like, how many people go through HTTPS for their Facebook or the secure site for Google? Not very many people. And you're only as secure as the connections that you're going through.
That's true.
So you've got to either not do that, don't go there to those open Wi-Fi places, or set up a VPN to your house. You have end-to-end encrypted a session so that nobody can snoop in on your data. Protect your data. Don't be a data litter bug, like Sean always says.
I said it once. I said it once.
Okay.
And we just filmed it.
I'll keep repeating it.
And again, don't be a data litter bug. It's true, though. And the interesting thing is, though, I wish there was an app that could show you if someone is eavesdropping. Because I'd love to get, you know...
You can't.
No, but because you could find one. So you could walk up to the guy and go, like, you're stealing my data. You're a thief.
Well, you can look over his shoulder and punch him in the back of the head.
Oh, no, he'd get off.
Because you
can
see the fire sheep.
No,
he could see the fire sheep on his screen, like in a coffee bar or whatever, right? You can see it on his screen. He's capturing everything.
Well, I think you'd get a pillowcase and a trunk ride. And while I drive around in circles for a few days thinking about what I'm going to do with him. You know, maybe I'll let him go. Maybe I'll just tie him to some, railroad tracks somewhere and just let him go. You know, some disused railroad tracks and just drive off. You know, let him worry there for a few hours. But, you know, honestly, I just, you know, I tell you, it's interesting. You know, what?
Yep. That's why we're here to inform you so you can protect yourself.
Yep. So
that's right. It can be used for bad or good. So use it for good and protect you and your loved ones.
I've actually turned off Wi-Fi at my place. I run all hardline cable now. That's just no
good
point.
If you can do that at your house, awesome.
Yeah.
That is the best way to do it.
Yeah. Don't believe it. Don't trust it. I'm like, get off my lawn.
No.
How about some ditch? I wanted to call this ditch surveillance, but as in ditch medicine. but this is like LoJack surveillance. This is radio frequency projects can seem more difficult than other electronic products because most of the time you cannot build them on a solderless breadboard, and there'd be some parts you're not easy to source, such as coils and adjustable capacitors. This project focuses toward those who have not yet attempted to build any kind of radio frequency project and is laid out in ways to make it easy to explore the basic principles of radio frequency circuitry and ensure a successful final product. A simple two-transistor audio transmitter will send the sounds picked up in a room to any FM radio turned to the same frequency as the transmitter, somewhere between 80 and 100 megahertz. The expected range will be at least 100 feet and could be substantially longer depending on the parts used, the quality of your final product. This circuit is based on one that's been around since the 60s, published thousands of times, so it's tried, tested, and guaranteed to work if you follow the instructions. Performance is okay, but since this is one of the most basic transmitter circuits possible, don't expect high quality or rock solid performance. But they also tell you how to build it out of, like, household component parts. So it's very cool to know how to build a bug for, like, all kinds of shit out of, like, your local household stuff. Kind of neat, I think. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I thought that was cool. Kind of a cool product. Yeah, you betcha. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to the program, please distribute. But if you can donate, please go to my live journal, go down the left-hand side, look under the little tabs there. One says subscribe. You can click there, take you to the Rant Media website, where you can also do some subscriptions or buy some stuff. It's always good, buy stuff. Or you can click on any of our products. There's a store. Or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 950-893-89... Okay, let me try that again. Rant Media Studios, Box 950-89-370, East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, B5T1W0. Digital baptism tonight. Carl is now hypolink, like a hyperlink. Like hyperthermic and hypothermic, so he's now a hypo.
Nice.
It was a clever one. I like that one. I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant Radio newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. But, Simi, I didn't actually pause for anything. We got anything going on that we need to talk about?
Well, tomorrow.
Of course.
In real time.
Yes.
Today's Thursday, tomorrow's Friday, kind of speak. Tomorrow we're going to check out our movie downtown Vancouver with a whole bunch of fans and people and see how it goes. See if anybody claps for it. See if we do well there.
I think that'll be a lot of fun. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
They won't spit on us. You know, but it's also, there's a bunch of other films, too. We're not just going there to see our movie.
It's not just us.
That's what I'm more
Vancouver
concerned about.
Vancouver Short Film Festival.
Well, I'd like to know how we stand. Like, what else?
That's true. Well, we'll be able to compare, you know, the level that we're at, what kind of competition and that kind of stuff, and we'll see where we fit in. I mean, there's some...
So are they going to feel totally intimidated or just completely robbed? And we'll be like, this is stupid.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's, like, known actors that are in some of these short films that are on, like, TV and movies and stuff. So, I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
They're, like, real actors. Wow.
Yeah, real stuff.
Real stuff.
And my carputer is done. It's installed.
Finally, after a decade of talking about it. The carputer has been a saga. The fucking saga of the car.
Forever.
You've been working on trying to put a computer in your car for as long as I've known you. Like, you've always wanted to have, like, a bitchin' computer in your car. And this is the car that everyone's seen in all the shows, so they know
it. It's the black car. You see all the videos. It's in the background, in the corner, get a little glimpse of it. Yeah. So, I've got a touch screen, a Mac Mini.
Hack on your car.
So, put a little back and forth thing.
Is it working? Are you liking it? Are you happy?
Yeah. 100% working. It's awesome. Great interface. Touch screen works. It pumps out tons of sound. It's awesome. I definitely sunk enough money into it to warrant it being awesome. So it better be awesome.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you get what you pay for. And the wife hasn't, which is great, because when you're in your car, you can listen to whatever you want at whatever kind of volume you want.
That's right.
As long as your wife doesn't tell you to turn it down. But, you know, you're generally,
that's right.
You know, you're pretty much, you know, free and clear. You can do what you want. So. Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, you might want to put this one through there in honor of our birthdays. We got sent this by from the doctor. He sent us this one. Oh, and incidentally, the doctor sent in a big thing talking about, and he totally misunderstood what you said about, because I was reading his email, and we were talking about gay pride and gay pride parades, and your point was that until there's no more, you know, prejudice against gay people, there should be gay pride parades. That was your point.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
And I think he was, I think he somehow misunderstood that. As a matter of fact, I was kind of the one going, oh, well, whatever, gay pride parades are stupid, blah, right?
Yeah.
And he wrote it, it was an email, and it was really well written, but he totally, I'm like, oh my God, this guy completely misunderstood something. I don't know what happened there. Maybe I edited it bad. But absolutely. So, anyway,
yeah, he said, maybe I came across wrong.
Yeah, yeah. A miscommunication there. We agree with you, so I just skipped the whole thing, so don't worry about it. But thanks for the intense letter. No, seriously.
I hate you, Sam. You hate
gays. No. He was super respectful and everything. He's like, well, you guys need to understand just how bad this is and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa.
It's cool, horrible. Man. People are killing themselves over...
We know all about what it is to get shit kicked for something that's not your fault.
Like, we were geeks in high school. We got shoved around.
Yeah.
Sean got the worst of it. But I got, you know, picked on, shoved around into lockers, stuff like that. Big... guys that played on the rugby team, it was bad.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We know.
Sure.
I mean, it's not as bad as other people have it, but we know.
Well, and plus there's the concept of being, you know, the public thing and the hospitals and stuff like that. It's just like, so I can understand why it's a real touchy issue. But regardless, he sent us this song, which is from The Crux Shadows, Birthday, which I don't know if you ever heard. It's a pretty good song, very Twilight Zone.
Cool.
I like it very much. So remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
anyone.